My name is Raul. Episode number 5. And we're actually very fortunate. We're talking about 1945, and 1945 quite a turning point, very, very dense here for everyone involved. Horrid. Of course, our action takes Susan Apo watching us live. Listening, basically, Romania, east of all of Romania. So, we're talking about John, a boy that was like 7 years old, 8 years old. That's bulk of him in 1903. We basically cover the episode. 1935, the birth of father, to now 1943, and we've ended with action. Ended with Italy surrendering, changing sides, attacking, you know, Nazi Germany. So the tides were changing, but that meant a lot of trouble for Romania and Hungary, Transylvania.
So long as these problems are not solved,
very
so
much
ignorance and
very, very precarious situation right now. So, as we all know, the Holocaust happened, and both Hungary terrible things name evil, basically. So we were having such a horrible tragedy on our hands, and here at two sides that basically same side, Axis killing each other, Hungarians killing and butchering places of Transylvania they cover with, and obviously Romanian killing massacre Hungarians, the other part of Romania, because it was war, and even though theoretically they were allies, they defend them. Really, really something that only warriors, and it's quite applicable my point, and it's a tragedy. Two tragedy at least to John, child that by the time five he lost his father in World War, and remained basically alone with brothers, mother, and course that's tragic, trying to grow up, trying to having to figure out and become an adult much earlier than anyone ever should or have to, which is devastating. Anyway, trying to run through the fields of Romania and the fields of Cluj, dodging birds, trying to figure out which of the soldiers are good, are there to defend you, and which basically kill you, probably. They had no reason not to. Those atrocities were everywhere back in the day, and you had no assurance that anyone would be on the side or care about you. Something that many people don't have to live with, luckily today, but those that do, basically tragic making. We're talking about the most impactful year of this, or the most impactful, because here the tides turning, so we have quite sorry. They join me this podcast where we talk about Romania and how it was handled, how got where we are. You have to think about how impacted lives people living, and this time hopeful as 1944 was many allies, also very very hard, because you have to think that Romania was quite in the best place possible. They were very much suffering 1941, were basically in debt and having three trade deals with Nazi Germany, that leading of resources, money, stuff, lot of stuff. And of course that's scary, because of course it is. Now, with that said, let's move on. So 1944, what was happening? For example, January 6th, for the Soviet Poland. So was already a first step for the Russians towards the center, Europe and Germany. Germany only had their detriment. Their only defense was Poland, sadly. So couldn't really do much about Poland. So of course that lot of stuff starts happening. Of course, we have D-Day and Germans surrender Mia, where Romania had a fight in, and Germans withdraw from Adolf Hitler line, Germans withdraw from Anzio and Allies and Rome. So this time they couldn't give any like they did the other. They couldn't do what they did before, where actually helped them gain a little bit more power, hold out. So you know, in Romania of course the troops falling behind, Germans surrender places, and from by basically German technologies, German guns, German panzer aircrafts, the Romanian output, military vehicle, military force was small. It was Romania, and Romania was a really bad place. Lot of factors back in four. So no, even with whatever Andronescu was doing, it wasn't really too much actually create mania. And I'm gonna show you a few videos about, give you context, because there were a few things happening. Romania was the center of the attention after branded and changed sides, and That was horrible, horrible thing, but very, very positive one in terms of short term, because it was one of by now the ally Germany has forced that man that getting Romania right place at right time. Be that would prove to be detrimental to Nazi Germany and war, because there are many same. World War II was very much basically by oil, different of your technology, have the resource oil and didn't have the capacity to extract it and even get your synthetic oils out of it. And that's exactly what about to happen, because Germany wasn't really advancing anywhere anymore. We're just holding out. It was just a matter for the South. Works when you're just having one thing there that holds you, helps you basically in what you're having. So changes, things changes, and this beginning change after June 6th, D-Day landing, France, Soviets start fighting the Finnish. Germans then attack Britain, but oh, the Soviet summer offensive starts 2nd of June. US troops liberate city in France, Cherbourg to be attacked, and starts going for an Canada joins Britain, Guyana in France, and goes on and on. Like basically another assassination attempt on fails on, and Soviets keep liberating city after city after city. The first troop break out of law, Soviet troops take Brest, and Americans basically defenseman France, and we're getting very important month, August 1940, basically turning place where in Pennsylvania. Why it? Because, well, many things happen. August 1st, 1944, the Polish army rises against Nazis Warsaw. Well, let's mention it. Getting arrested by Gestapo in Amsterdam. No, then 15th, the invasion of southern France by Allied forces. Resistance uprising in Paris, obviously. And have it. Where basically August, they were, and the American very well. Mania. Mania was a big part of course of Nazi Germany that they had force and strike place in time in way, and by this time it's now been over a month. US Air were basically training hit a certain spot. Japan has been in quite a while, and all kind of came together in such a weird way that doesn't likely get coming. And here of talking about apartment mania. Mania was shooting in the east. By now, lose battle after battle. Germans, he of course, Istria, and slowly back in Republic Dova. But here starts that with Russian mania and their plans start day August 4. But that's not the only thing that starts here. Here it's attack Romania by forces, and this is one of the most fascinating stories. Mission was quite tidal one and fascinating. And with that said, I'm just gonna show you videos. I found the places like Red Army. So, as I told you, Romania was battle, just like the Germans, because they have the manpower and capacity, especially after they lost Italy and started France and places. Of course, Japan fighting their war Pacific, so they couldn't really give a hand, right? Tracked Russia on an Asian front, so that was something else. The fact that Canada and America entered or all got further actually tried to do, because the Axis power were now against fighting a battle that might have not been it. Of course, don't really have the might not able to. Thank you for allowing me that small break to drink some more, because my throat is parched. Well, here we're back again. So basically, Romania is quite in the ugly shape that it. So yeah, It's an interesting, really interesting time, because being invaded isn't quite the nice thing, and that meant very much for Romania that they were fighting a really, really tough war. So before the Russians actually got to enter Romania, and what I'll show here is just the first part and just the beginning of the story, basically where Romania started losing territory in its own territory. So they started losing territory in Romania, and this is the first. Hope you'll also hear it quite well.
Coinciding with Romania's decision to abandon the gangsters' agreement with Germany, we receive these pictures of the first entry of the Soviet army into Romania.
So this was at the point where Romania gave up, basically, and entered Romania, you know, with the Red Army and stuff like that. So it's already an interesting place to be at. But this didn't start like that, because of course you had to attack key cities and key places, and one of those was the bombardment of Bucharest. And
Bucharest, unmittelbar nach einem Angriff.
This is a German film talking about the bombardment of Bucharest by the Soviets and the Americans.
Der 15. US Luftflotte.
Yes, so they were attacked by the 15th US force. And these are the haunting images of
die rumänische Hauptstadt, in der damals rund 900,000 Menschen lebten, war lange Zeit von
I'm gonna also translate it if you don't know German. This is basically the capital city where there were living almost 900,000 people, at least in 1944. And this was the first attack, aerial attack of Bucharest, being, even in the film she says that Bucharest was basically avoided, got lucky in a sense, because they weren't bombarded.
1944 von größeren Luftangriffen verschont geblieben.
Yeah.
Erst im April 1944.
So the bombardment of Romania basically started, of Bucharest at least, started in April 1944. Why I said that August, because August is where Romania basically capitulates and Russians invade. So, but until then you have a lot of things going on, and this wouldn't happen without obviously the help of the US force and the US Navy, and well, in this case Air Force, because without these operations against Romania, I don't think Russia would have had much to do in 1944 in Romania. I think they would have just had to kind of go forward through Poland and just leave Romania alone, at least the part that Romania is now, for example. So without what now is Republic of Moldova and Transnistria.
1944 begannen die Alliierten mit massiven Einflügen.
Because Romania was very much damaged, and I'll show you what I mean.
Diese Bilder.
So this is the northern railway station in Bucharest that has been obviously damaged, and of course one of the things you attack is the railway station. and it was completely destroyed, as you can see here. For me, I was here like a week ago, and it's absolutely fascinating because it's like they rebuilt it the way it was back then, but you know, having McDonald's and a few other things. Und Bahngleise gleichen einer Trümmerwüste.
Trägern und ausgebrannten Stahlgerippen.
It's so fascinating. This so fascinates me.
Auch zivile Ziele sind verwüstet.
These are basically houses and villas that were burned down and bombarded.
Unter den eingestürzten Häusern liegen noch viele verschüttet. Rumänische Feuerwehrleute beginnen den Wettlauf gegen die Zeit.
Romanian firefighters were trying to save people from under the rubble and try to find basically survivors.
Der rumänische Königspalast mit erbeuteten Panzerkampfwagen hat das Bombardement weit.
So that's the such a fascinating thing. Here she says that the Romanian palace in Bucharest was not touched, not even by a panzer, not even by a bullet, not even by anything. And that's something very interesting for me. The way we kind of try to preserve certain things, even in war, if you think about it, like even Hitler took pictures of with the Eiffel Tower behind him, and he even, you know, he kind of liked it, though we know he wasn't much into art because of reasons, and he burnt art and tried to destroy most of it because. Of course, the thing you're thinking when you're such an asshole and you want to try to take over the world is, what's the easiest way to do it is, well, let's, you know, change people's mind. And how do you do that? You control art and the way of expression and anything like that. So whatever came before shouldn't exist because you want to... you want people indoctrinated in whatever you think is right. But still here we have a few things like this, like the royal palace being intact. And I think that while this is a great thing for history, it might have been the biggest mistake Andronescu made.
Am 31. August 1944, rund vier Monate nach diesen Aufnahmen, fällt Bukarest in die Hände der Roten Armee.
So even here they say that by the end of August Bucharest falls in the arms of the Red Army, and the Red Army enters Bucharest. And I'm going to show you that.
Beginnt ein Martyrium. Rumänische Kommunisten und Partisanen wüten auf den Straßen und töten jeden, der im Verdacht steht, mit den Deutschen kollaboriert zu haben.
And of course they talk about the tragedies that the communists obviously came in and appointed people and killed anyone that was thought to have collaborated and worked with Nazi Germany, which is both great and not so. And things happened until here, a few things happened that we'll go back to and talk about. One of those things would be a coup where King Mihai would regain his throne and would change sides, as mentioned. But let's actually talk about that. So after all the bombardment, after all the war in what was the first half of the 1944, let's go here to this important part and then move on to, oh yeah, sorry, hope it does, it ain't fine.
American bombers over Ploiești. This is one of the raids which almost completely wiped out the huge oil fields before Romania finally broke away from Germany. These Axis-made films, recently seized by the United States 15th Air Force, show the tremendous fires started in the attacks.
So, as you can see, they, and I told you about this, they were preparing for this for months and months. And
German helmeted firefighters battled vainly against blazes raging for miles
in oil storage areas and railway marshalling yards. Like a few years ago, from Ploiești
alone came 27% of all Axis petroleum products to feed the Nazi war machine. The great air offensive against this vital industrial target cost 300 aircraft and 3,000 American casualties. Today, Germany is feeling the effect of this drastic curtailment of her oil supply.
So, this happened, and obviously that meant, you know, a devastating blow to Germany, because suddenly their supply of oil was cut and damaged, and they couldn't do anything about it. And America was quite smart about the way they were handling themselves, and one of those ways was actually, you know, attacking the oil field there. And that was one of the easiest ways for Nazi Germany to get their oil, because it was on land and you had, you know, trucks and trains and stuff like that getting through, let's say, Hungary and into, you know, Germany. So, and you could also feed it through the east to fight the Eastern Front and keep whatever front you have there and defenses there stable. So, we have this situation where basically the US took months and months to prepare and attack and basically coordinate themselves with Russia to take over and basically, you know, choke out Romania and move on to the next stage, which was, you know, now choke out Nazi Germany from all what's resource and wait them to basically die, because they remain out of air and out of options. So, with that said, King Mihai comes back. He has this coup. He regains control back of Romania, switches sides to the Axis, the Allies, after the bombardment of like Ploiești, after the bombardment of Bucharest, after, you know, countless and countless battles that were fought. And it was something tragic in the loss of humans, because you can only imagine how many people actually died there. And it's not like the Red Army was quite merciful. On the contrary, they say quite in one of these propaganda videos that I'm gonna show you, that the Red Army enters and takes Romanians to the east, basically sends them to Siberia, to gulags, which is something, in my opinion, something very, very scary. And there are many, many stories of people that actually went and survived, and even came back after, like, 1989, after the fall of communism in Romania. Romania, they returned, you know, they actually returned from those places after the Soviets fell, And it's just crazy. But that's a story for another time. So, where are we? Yeah, let's continue watching now this video from the British. Just a second, let me... Sorry about that.
So in the smashing offensive, the German invaders and their Romanian satellites were driven from Soviet soil. Smashed bridges did little to hold up the onward surge of the Red Army. They had already astonished the world in their crossings of the broad rivers of their own land.
So they basically were saying that even in the Republic of Moldova, the Romanians there were invaders, even though that was their third territory until the beginning of the war, when the Germans were like, yeah, fuck it, take it, who gives a shit, I don't care. And also, you know, took like half of Poland. But it's just so, you know, propaganda is so fascinating. Because even now, if you go to Moldova, the propaganda machine works so well there, and being under the direct rule of like Gorbachev and, you know, the Soviet Party, that they dare talk two languages, which is Russian and Romanian, basically. And they're very divided due to this fact there. So some want the union with Romania and getting closer to Europe, and some want, you know, Putin.
Here, for the first time, the Red Army is on Romanian soil, approaching the city of Seret. These are soldiers of the 1st Ukrainian Front. Another Romanian town is occupied, and Moscow declared that the USSR had no designs on Romanian territory. Their entry was dictated solely by military needs. This film shows how they are encouraging Romanian peasants to continue their work as before.
So the same thing that the Germans basically did, the Russians repeated here, where they didn't want the territory, so they encouraged and helped the peasants to go back to their lives. Same propaganda.
And although the
bullshit.
World knows that Germany's allies joined in Germany's war for what they could get out of it, no doubt Moscow has not overlooked that.
Now, there's another here, this one.
Whose sudden break with the Nazis provides one of the war's greatest sensations. Pictures just received from Russia show the events which led to the dramatic announcement that King Michael had made an 11th-hour peace with the Allies. Bridges had been blown up by the Germans in their headlong flight from Bessarabia. But the Red Army hadn't chased the enemy all the way from the Volga just to stop at the Pruth. Soviet engineers soon had tanks and support across, with fast-working infantry in close support.
Yeah, so here we basically see the actual invasion of Romania.
The tremendous moment has arrived. The Nazi nightmare has come true. Soviet troops are in Romania, key to the Balkans, with all the equipment of a mighty modern army.
So fascinating. But this obviously is just the beginning of something else. Even though it was hopeful from at least this perspective. Well, a
pressing on, wonder. The Red Army swiftly overtakes those Germans who have not run quickly enough. Soon the first prisoners to be captured on Romanian soil are being taken eastwards and out of the war.
taken eastwards and out of the war. So anyone that would be a German or Nazi sympathizer would be sent to a gulag in Siberia. That's what taking out of war.
The important Romanian city of Seret is occupied by troops of the 1st Ukrainian Army. The city looks empty. The Germans, fearing that the population of the country is turning against them, have driven the inhabitants westwards. In Botoșani, the largest town in northern Romania, the streets are also empty.
Yeah, Botoșani now is kind of a...
Gradually, the inhabitants return to learn that Goebbels has lied to them, and that the Russians have no designs on their soil or their homes. And so, as the Red Army marches on in the east, and the other allies in the west, Romania decides she has played the German game long enough. As the master race goes down for the count, another disillusioned satellite deserts to the winning side.
Woo! And that enthusiasm about them getting down. But with that said, we move on to...
The crushing pressure on Germany from Western Europe, the Balkans, Italy and Russia is steadily mounting. Bucharest, capital of Romania, shows in these pictures how her citizens welcome the news of the relief of their country from the grip of the Nazis.
Yes, so after getting bombarded for months and months, after King Mihai's coup, obviously they changed sides, and this is the response of Romanians welcoming the Russians. This seems peaceful. I don't really think it was. So, well, I don't think it was the same way, you know, I showed you last time a few episodes ago when Germany entered Cluj and there were people cheering there, but, you know, the population there was mostly Romanian, so I fear that this is kind of the same setting where people might have done it out of pressure, mostly since, as stated even by the German video, they were killing any Nazi sympathizer or anyone that might have worked with Germany or, you know, have been part of what the Germans did. So you are kind of forced to actually celebrate this and try to hide yourself as much as possible from the public eye, probably, which is terrifying to think about. So, what better way to hide yourself than be happy?
The soldiers of the Red Army are acclaimed from all sides as their armored spearheads sweep into the city. When King Michael signed the proclamation which made Romania the first of the Nazi Balkan satellites to surrender, he struck a severe blow at the German army. In a lightning stroke, the Russians have driven the Germans from the vital Ploiești oil fields and are well beyond Bucharest on the next stage of their offensive. Now the Nazis must face the Romanians in addition to the vast Allied armies readying to pour into Germany from the south, the east and the west.
So, at least that last part is really, really important, because they were now having to face this huge, huge issue that meant having to fight on all sides and being surrounded, which ain't really, really pretty. Now, well, I still have a few videos here, but these are, I'll show you these next time because that's important. Now, with that said, obviously 1944 is a really important year, and it was the beginning of the end of the war, with August, you know, being the catalyst, basically. So here we are at the end of 1944. On October 30th, 1944, the last use of gas chamber was at Auschwitz. So that was a beginning of another positive thing, but it wasn't the end of it, because stuff was about to really go down, in the sense that of course, since now Russians entered Romania, that meant that they had to take back northern Transylvania, and they had to fight a war northwest in Romania, and then further west into Central Europe, which is exactly what started happening in the latter half of 1944, where after they've taken Bucharest on August 31st, they started getting ready to march north and to the west to retake Transylvania. So now imagine being at this fragile age of 9 years old, almost 10, and having to witness war in the place you live, because the Russians occupied Romania and they were about to head towards you. And that's what we're gonna talk about next time. This was very much a context thing, a contextual thing, because while the years that were until now, from the start of the World War II until August 31st, 1944, many things didn't really change in the dynamic of the relationship here between Romanians and Hungarians, because on the one side you had people that really couldn't give less of a shit, and on the other hand you had spiteful people that wanted to, that knew what was happening and were hearing stuff about what was happening in Transylvania, so of course they wanted to basically take preemptive revenge for the tragedies in Transylvania. Besides, they were basically, everyone was an asshole, so they were at war, so why not take this chance to actually go through with it until the end. So that's what I am saying, that while this was basically a very, very, very hopeful year, it was also nightmarish, because you had people being killed and dying at every and any and all steps throughout this war. And now basically Romania was torn again, but this time by the Russians and the Allies, even though, you know, after being played by the Nazis and being torn by them and the Russians, Romania was not getting out of this whole ordeal very nicely, or not in a very nice shape, because however you look at it, after World War II, Romania was basically in a very, very horrible state, with the Russians basically chokeholding them, and of course the Cold War and the whole Europe being torn into Democrats and, well, communists, because Hungary, Czechoslovakia, you know, Polish, Romanians, Bulgaria, they were all, and the whole of Balkans were communists, so it was nothing but a horrible place to live. So not just that, but you never knew when you were about to start and get yourself in another war and get yourself killed. And especially being a boy, now 9 years old, John was already on the second grade, and between the second and the third grade, and that meant, you know, that he was a little older, he was a little brighter in the sense that he could take care of more things and try to survive better, had better chances at actually living in this world, because somehow through sheer luck or something happening, he didn't die. He was left alone. He learned some Hungarian, or at least as little Hungarian as possible to survive and to live to see another day. And that was the life he was living back then. And now with basically this threat, because you have to remember that Romania by now was in its third or fourth year of being under the Hungarian boot, and of course you start to trust some of those people because you don't really have a choice, right? Because they're not gonna be horrible all the time. There are gonna be some decent and good people in there that are gonna actually make you kind of sympathize with them or befriend them and stuff like that. And especially when you're a child and you're like very, very gullible, because being a child means being gullible no matter how smart the child is. And here we have a child without a father since he was 5 and being traumatized by war, so you know, he was very much like a dog, not knowing who to trust, who to bite, who to run away from, and how to deal with this world. But now that he's 9 years old, he's getting a better sense of the world, even if it's not an accurate one, because of course propaganda works. Otherwise they wouldn't use propaganda if propaganda wouldn't work, right? So you can imagine that if you lie through propaganda to a child, he will most likely believe you and be by your side. So of course the news that the Americans were attacking Romania, the news that the Russians were attacking Romania, was a horrible thing that would bring fear upon anyone living, for example, in Transylvania under Hungarian rule, because that meant that their lives were under threat, right? Because when you have an enemy to the south, where with America attacking, for example, Ploiești and Bucharest and bombing places, and you had the Russians in east beating, you know, German and Romanian forces and Hungarian forces over and over and over again, you have to fear for your life when after 4 years to living under Hungarian rule, suddenly the peace that you kind of tried to find as a child in those times is now threatened, and you're not gonna do well psychologically, because let's face it, basically not many of us can face reality as it is now from a psychological standpoint, because we're not really prepared for it. So when something happens, it stresses the hell out of us. So that the same kind of goes here too in the story. And having Russia and America basically bombard the place you want to live, it is terrifying. And next was Transylvania, and next was Cluj, and this is where we're gonna end for now. We're gonna end with King Mihai coming back to the throne after a coup, the Russians getting here in Romania, the Americans now happy that they basically took out one of the oil barrels of Nazi Germany, so they could focus now on taking over the rest of Italy, liberating France, and moving towards Belgium, towards the Netherlands, and then attacking obviously Nazi Germany itself, because the liberation, for example, of Denmark and stuff like that would happen afterwards, I think. I'm not sure if I'm right about that, but that meant that, you know, east you had Russia, west you had the Allies in US and stuff like that, and here we are with us ending before 1944. And next time I promise you that we're gonna end the year 1944 and get into the end of the World War and what that meant for John in Transylvania, in Cluj, and what that meant for the future of his life and the rest of this series. Well, with that said, my name was Raul. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For me, it was quite an entertaining one and quite an interesting one. We learned a lot of stuff. Don't forget, I learned a lot of stuff too, because I was taught one version of the history. So researching this in more than one language and finding out stuff is very, very helpful, because I can also enlighten others, and also I can enlighten myself when it comes to certain things that happened throughout Europe. So with that said, I thank you. Don't forget to like, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. If you listened, leave something, or like, share it with people, and thank you for watching. Next time, see you next Thursday. Yes, bye bye.